There's been a lot in the paper lately, and you've been hearing it here on what's been going on with Najibullah Zazi in New York. To give us some perspective on where we are right now on all of this and where our alert system is specifically, we welcome to the show Bradley Schreiber, who's president of Homeland Security Solutions and a former senior advisor to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. How are you, Tim?
Good. Here we are 8 years later. We're doing an assessment. We're evaluating things. The alert system itself, let's talk about that for a moment. How was that designed?
The alert system was originally designed to provide law enforcement and states with the ability to activate certain resources when the threat risk was at a certain level. But what ended up happening is that because it was a public, there was a public display, there was public information about it, people started to rely on that information.
Well, and not only that, it seems that we were getting confused about what the colors meant. Is that the system we're talking about? I mean, when it was orange level and red and so on?
Correct, the color-coded system.
The amber.
Exactly. You have orange and red and green and a couple of others in between.
And it never went to green after 9/11, I don't think, or it never seemed to anyway.
No, it stayed at yellow, which is the cautionary level since, I believe, after 9/11. It did rise once back in 2006, but we had a separate system for air travel, and that went to red in 2006 when there was a high risk of a terrorist threat back in Europe.
The good news is Najibullah Zazi was stopped, and evidently the people who are investigating this have word of some other accomplices and so on. They still have to prove their case in court. The question is the alert system not working? And if not, why not? And what do we need to do about it? So I'll leave it to you to sort of handle that.
Well, I don't think it's working because the system, as you pointed out, is both now has been adapted by the public for themselves and for for the original use of getting the resources to the state and local governments. But if I'm an individual and I'm going to rely on the system, especially if I'm living in New York City and I need to know if I'm crossing, going to the New York City subway system, should I be on heightened alert? I'm going to rely on the information that the government's providing me. They never raised the alert level for this in this particular situation, despite the fact that he had the motive, means, and ability to carry out such an attack. And that information is going to be necessary to have because it's going to be the population, the American people, who are our eyes and ears on the ground.
So, in other words, this is not a system we need to have that's separate from the American people, but one that it includes the average American citizen?
We need two separate systems, Tim. We need one for companies, and we need one for governments, and then we need a separate one for the public. Because the public needs to be aware. They need to understand what their risk is. They don't need to be afraid, but they need to understand if law enforcement has a reasonable belief, or the intelligence community has a reasonable belief that an attack is going to happen on our public transportation system, they need to be able to take the appropriate action to reduce their risk.
Well, where are we going on that? I mean, is this a part of the conversation? I know you're not specifically and directly connected to Homeland Security anymore, even though you had been an advisor at one time, but is this something that's being discussed?
It is being discussed. The Homeland Security Advisory Council came out with some recommendations not too long ago, and Secretary Napolitano is supposed to provide the final recommendations to the president sometime shortly.
Is there better coordination now among the various agencies? For example, FEMA, which is one of the things that happened during Katrina was that they were responsible to the Homeland Security Department, but there was a question about whether they were able to coordinate their efforts enough.
Well, FEMA is separate and apart from a lot of what we do, but FEMA has made significant progress in coordinating their activities with the various states. After Katrina, there were several strategies that were developed and plans that were put in place, so a Katrina-like event could never happen, that the lines were bright-lined and everybody knew what their responsibilities were. The information sharing between state, local, and federal law enforcement is not where we really needed to be at this point, but it's getting there.
Once again, we're talking to Bradley Schreiber, who's with us. He is the president of Homeland Security Solutions and a former senior advisor at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I know when you worked as an advisor, you worked on foreign as well as domestic, but domestic assignments included the U.S. Southwest border. Did you work with Governor Napolitano when she was governor, now Secretary of Homeland Security?
Not directly, but we had worked with her office with some trying to address some issues that she had.
And what was the result of that? I mean, was it a good relationship? Did they follow your recommendations? Was it a responsive government? Give us a sense of how you would assess her ability to be working through these issues.
I think Secretary Napolitano is an excellent choice for this role. She really understands what's happening before Mexico sort of became on the, you know, the issues in Mexico hit the forefront of the media pages, if you will. You know, she was there. She understood what was on the ground. So she has a good pulse of what's going on there.
And the biggest threat right now, is there any way to identify one, or is it just any one of those tentacles of that big overseas octopus that could touch us? Is there any one particular area that you think is the greatest threat?
I think dealing with the things that we don't know is really the issue, you know, sort of things that keep me up at night. When you're taking a look at you know, how we're addressing the drug cartels and the fact that we don't have a comprehensive plan for how we deal with them, and that these cartels are a potential gateway for terrorists to come into this country, you know, those are issues that we really need to start to address.
Is homegrown terrorism a bigger threat now?
I think the risk, you know, it's funny when you take a look at the Zazi case, and I get very concerned when we talk about homegrown terrorists. You know, this is an individual who grew up, you know, overseas, and then, you know, became I believe he's a citizen or a legal permanent resident, and, you know, still had those, you know, strong ties back to that particular region. I wouldn't necessarily define this as, quote, homegrown terrorism as we did, you know, for other individuals. So I just want to make sure that we separate that argument out.
Okay.
I think that this individual kept and maintained certain relationships, which made him more likely to commit these acts than otherwise.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time with us this morning. Thanks, Bradley.
Appreciate it, Tim. Have a good morning.